Good morning. We welcome you for those all of you present, especially guests. We are also welcoming you online that we stream our service, and a lot of people might have considered the icy and rough weather to be an impediment, and so they are joining us not only from their homes locally, but we have people all across the ways. We have people in California, we have people in New York, and we have people all about. So we welcome all of you as we come and join in worship. I made an interesting discovery. You've heard of satellite illumination or satellite works. Well, that comes from years ago, back in the olden days of the cowboys, they'd tie a lantern to their saddle. And that was the satellite navigation. Didn't know that that's where that term came from. So we come, we learn something, we grow, and we journey in Christ. Are there any announcements that we need to share before we begin this morning? Paya is ill, and so we've got some second string technicians working on stuff back there. We're in the midst of all of that. But we come and we gather, and we think we're prepared as we begin this coming week.
Recording in progress.
I think that's a good sign. So at any rate, any other announcements, any things that we need to be aware of as we prepare and come to gather in Christ? If not, stand if you will, wave hello to one another. Let's turn to our call to worship.
So I assume we're getting it recorded now. That's good.
Peace of Christ.
Would you please remain standing for the call to worship?
Get a little closer. Get a little closer to your microphone.
Would you please remain standing for the call to worship? Shall we invite God to be with us? Yes. Let us say, good morning, Lord. It is a good morning. It is a day full of potential, a day filled with newness, a day filled with promise. It has started well, for it is a day with the one who loves us most, our Lord the Messiah. As we gather here this morning, let us put worship before performance. Let us put others before ourselves. Let us put our Christ above all others at all times and in all places. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Almighty Savior. And bless us by joining us and inspiring us in your ways.
So, as you remain standing, turn to 314 in your hymnal, in the garden, or follow it on the screen. Sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing, and he walks with me and he talks. And the none other has ever known. I stay to the garden with him through the night around me befalling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Please be seated.
The scripture this morning is from the Old Testament, you found in your pew Bible on page 581, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 15. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the busyness that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that we should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it or taken away from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before him. That which is already has been, and that which is already is, and God seeks out what has gone by. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today is my privilege to memorialize three members of Burns United Methodist Church who have passed on to its reward. Stella Marie Marker was born September 29, 1922, in Denver, Colorado. She passed December 4, 2022, in Aurora, Colorado. Stella lived a full and interesting life. Stella had many interests in life. She was a very, very busy lady. She was a housewife, an environmentalist, a creative soul, an avid reader, and an amazing mother, wife, and friend. Over her 99 years, she formed many and rich meaning fellowships. Two of her fun things were square dancing with her husband, Ed, and tennis. She loved to be outdoors. Stella is survived by her daughter, Karen, I don't know why I keep wanting to call her Diane. Karen, grandson Harrison, son-in-law Jim, and daughter-in-law Roxanne. Stella enjoyed being outdoors. She treasured hunting in thrift stores for the wonderful finds that she would find. She was a member of the Dig and Dream Garden Club. and she was president of the Adams Arapahoe Women's Club. She played an important part with the growth with the Platte and Conference Parks. Sarah loved the West and Southwest region. The Rocky Mountains were her happy place. This is from Isaiah 55, 12. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Goodbye, Stella. My next memorial is Virginia Kinnett. She was born September 18, 1923, in Sweetwater, Texas. She passed December 10, 2022, in Aurora, Colorado. Virginia was a vibrant, jovial gal. She prided herself on maintaining a positive attitude. Virginia fell for a local boy, Claude Kinnett. They married in October 1944. Claude was home after serving in the Army Air Force in North Africa, the Mediterranean, and the Baltics. After the war, Claude and Virginia made their home in Stephenville, Texas. He was a high school math teacher and band director. Claude was called back to the Air Force, and the family moved to Virginia. Then Claude was sent to Korea, and Virginia and her two boys moved to Brownwood. Then they were stationed in Houston, Texas, then Leland, Mississippi, and finally in Fairbanks, Alaska. It was from Alaska that they moved back to Aurora, Colorado. Virginia was very active with her bridge group and friends, and she founded her church home here at Burns Memorial United Methodist Church. Virginia was preceded in death by her loving husband, Major Claude A. Kinnett Jr. Her parents, Bess and Walter Anthony, brother Mark, sister Betty Fay, and many dear friends. She is survived by her sister Linnell, son Terry and his wife Jude, Bill and his wife Olivia, daughter Claudia and her husband Cliff, and daughter Leah and her husband Scott. She is survived by her grandson Tyler and his wife Tay, granddaughter Corrine and her husband Drew, granddaughter Alexandria and her fiance Matt, grandson Will, and numerous nieces and nephews. Virginia will be interred alongside Claude at Fort Logan National Cemetery. Virginia will be remembered for her kindness. She never turned away a person in need. The family wishes to end this obituary in the way Virginia would finish a conversation. If no one else has anything to say, let's say a few words about Texas. My third memorial is Earl Pierce. He was born November 2nd, 1932, in Farmville, North Carolina. He passed away December 29th, 2022, in Aurora, Colorado. Earl was raised in a Methodist home for children in Raleigh, North Carolina. His mother had passed away when he was seven, and his father put him and his brother and three sisters in the Methodist home for children. He loved the children's home. He enjoyed everything there. Earl graduated from high school and went to a junior college in North Carolina. After a year at college, Earl decided to enlist in the newly formed Air Force. While in the Air Force, Earl obtained a bachelor's degree from the University of Maryland. Earl was deployed to Bremerhaven, Germany, where he met the love of his life, a pretty young lady, Mary Ann Reel. The young couple married on July 6, 1956. Earl and Mary Ann were sent statewide to Youngstown, Ohio. Then Earl received orders to go to Tohatsu Air Force Base in Japan. It was there that the young couple became a young family, son David and daughter Brenda were born. He next transferred back to Lowry Air Force Base in Denver, Colorado. They purchased their forever home in Aurora, Colorado. Then the family was transferred to Alice Springs, Australia. And then they transferred back to Lowry Air Force Base. Earl loved playing golf and long walks with his dog, Gina. He and Marianne enjoyed going to Black Hawk and traveling. They also were active in the Democratic Party. He was a diehard Broncos, Rockies, and Nuggets fan. He and Marianne have held Broncos season tickets since 1970. In addition to his wife, Marianne, son David, wife Donna, and daughter Brenda, and husband Michael, Earl is survived by grandchildren, Christopher, Michelle, her husband Andrew, Lauren, and Matthew, and his wife Ginger, and great-grandchildren Graham and Marin. He's also survived by sisters Eleanor, husband George, Shirley, and May. In all of this, I found out that he was one of nine children. Earl loved his beloved Gina. It was a dog that he adopted from the Denver Dumb Friends League. Many a days were spent walking with that dog. I thank you for your attention.
We celebrate our brothers and sisters. We celebrate the contributions they've made to our faith, to our lives, to our families. We turn to prayer chime. Our on the back of the bulletin, you have a list of some of the people that we are praying for. We want to lift those and be aware of them. If you have updates to those, or if you have others that you would like to lift this morning as we are about our prayer time, this is an excellent time to do that. Anyone with prayer, please, Mike Ruella.
Thank you all. I think you all know that we're going to be grandparents. Well, that's going to happen Wednesday. They are inducing our daughter-in-law at 9 a.m. Wednesday morning. It's going to be a joyous time, but I pray that and ask for prayers that mother and baby will do just fine.
Amen. Tell us mother's name.
Katie.
Kate.
They don't have a name for the baby yet.
Of course
my
not.
My granddaughter insists on Galaxy, but I don't think that's going to be it. So, and then just a quick joy. That's a joy, too, but last weekend, we were at my 98-year-old uncle's memorial service, and he would have been 99 in March. Very favorite uncle, and we saw that when we got there. All of my cousins that are still living that could make it were there, and just a wonderful service and a wonderful time with family, and I just... I'm so thankful for his life and his guidance and all the things that he did for me. So.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Other concerns? We have had another mass shooting. I didn't even make the front page in some newspapers. And that in itself is a tragedy, that we are becoming immune to the shock. Prayers need to continue for the people of peace under the Prince of Peace. As we continue to explore ways that we might be about ending violence. Other concerns. A little bit of concern about ice and slick outside. Thank you. I know that Richard and Joe both spent some time chipping and hacking and working at it. It has been miserable. You know that from your streets. And thank you and praise to you for risking without ice skates to come out and to try and get to and from. But as we are lifting that, be aware of those who cannot dare to chance getting out and who are, if you will, isolated. And so prayers for those and awareness. If you know of somebody in need, check on them. We are that people. Any other concerns? I might lift Renee Varon. She is recovering after her ankle replacement and said, well, I sure plan to be there on the 9th. And then she said, well, I wasn't quite ready. And she says, but I'll be there on the 22nd. But I'm sure she looked out at the ice and said, I won't be there this week. So we will see her when she gets here safe and sound. Amen? By way of celebrations, we don't have any birthdays this week, but want to reiterate, and we did read them, Joe. You guys had two birthdays. Carson had a birthday on the Sunday the 15th. Charlotte had a birthday on Friday the 20th. Is she really six? I cannot believe it. And we celebrated Christopher Barto, Sue Anderson, Ruby Freeman last week. Coming up, Jane Barber on the 29th or the 31st of January. So do you have other birthdays or anniversaries or special events that you'd like to? Michael, there's a young man here down front. Well, yeah, come down here. Young man sitting behind Carol Danielson that is asking for the microphone. Rich Sneer.
I don't know if I need that. Anyway, as far as birthdays, our oldest granddaughter, Devon, she will turn 19 on the 23rd, which is what, tomorrow?
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, I'm feeling older and older when my kids are approaching having kids themselves. One, my grandkids, rather.
Yeah. Well, just remember you got married when we were two, so, you know, you just make the numbers work, Richard. We understand that. Celebrations to Devin, birthday. Other special celebrations and gifts. And if not, let's turn to our unison prayer. Let us read responsibly. Lord God, hear our prayers. Oh God, you have heard our prayers lifted aloud. You know about our deepest concerns, our heartaches, and our joys. Be with us in this prayer time. Guide our thoughts as we pray for one another, for our church, for the community, our nation, our world, and most humbly, for ourselves. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Loving Lord God, you know all, see all, you see into our hearts, and you hear the silent prayers we lift. You know our concerns and are with us in the dark nights of the souls. You are ever with us, and we too seldom give you thanks. As we come and gather today, we struggle and slip and slide, and yet that which is ice and snow and cold will become the nourishment of water in the spring and in the summer. Perhaps it is part of us remembering that there is a cycle to life, that there is a winter, but winter is defeated by spring and summer. Be with us, Lord, as we pause to acknowledge our mortality and celebrate the immortality of our beloved ones that we've named before you, those who have gone before and who now rest from their labors, the saints in your arms. Be with us as we pause and reflect on all of those who have gone before us, those to whom we have inherited, those that have led in their victory of life and faith. Be with us as we continue in our journey, that we strive not to stumble, but when we do, that you are there. And we acknowledge your presence and accept your help and guidance.
and that we return forgiven to the path. Lord, as we come and gather, we have lifted some who are in need. We have lifted others in our hearts. But we lift a world that has need of care as well. Help us not be passively saddened by events around us, but to find ways that we might respond as Christ would respond, through the gift of the Holy Spirit that empowers us and guides us. And Lord God, as we have come and gathered, we gather with people of all ages, nations, languages, cultures, and then we gather together in the Lord's Prayer saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
I would like you to stand for the reading of the scripture, which can be found in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 102 and 103. John 14, 1-14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, do we know where you are going? How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Mark, you can come forward. We have a video. Are you all set to do that, Diana? Go for it.
Sing along.
Amen. I invite you to be seated if you are standing. It's a little time since the Olympics, but do you recall the Olympics? How many of you like watching the Olympics? Different scene and all of that. And one of many people's favorites is the celebration and the awards and the tributes and the victories, if you will, when they are awarded their pennants, their medals for their achievements. We will be seeing another Super Bowl coming and going soon. I don't know who will be in it. I don't have any dogs in this fight. All the teams that I had hopes on have stepped aside, let's say. But there will be an award there and a huge celebration as well. So all of these victory parties, and it makes me wonder, when someone passes, we don't really get as much of a chance to have that victory party. I've done a few funerals. I started as an associate pastor in Fort Morgan with Keith Merriman. Ken, you remember Keith? Didn't know Keith Merriman? Oh, that's all right. He was a quiet but a firm member of our conference for years. Ken Burby, by the way, I want to acknowledge, member of our conference gathered here celebrating and on your vacation. Yes? Glad to have you, brother. But as an associate, the funeral director for the local funeral home was a member of the church, and he was a little guy. He was only about up to here on me, and I'm not that big, but it was a little guy, and he had a voice. It sounded like this all the time. And he'd call me on the phone. He'd say, Pete, you got time for another one. And he'd task me for funerals. And it was kind of a hard thing, but it's a holy time as well. But I've done a lot of funerals, just an awful lot of them. And invariably when you meet with the family, they say, well, whatever we do, we want it to be a happy time. We don't want a sad funeral. We want a celebration of life. And I understand that. We all want that. We want that celebration and not the grief. But you see, we can't do that completely, because grief is a part of the process too. We are human. Some of us want to deny that. I won't go down that path too far. But as humans, we have that human inbuilt part that grieves. Jesus' human part wept when he learned of the death of his friend Lazarus. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. And it's a message to us, a reminder to us. It's an acknowledgement of who we are and how we are. I was at a man and his wife sitting there in the afternoon, and all of a sudden, she died of a coronary right in front of him. Older couple. He was not even able to get up out of his chair, but somehow managed to call 911. And unfortunately, the paramedics came. He knew she was not well, and they both had do not resuscitate orders, but there's an emergency response when you get a 911 call. And as a chaplain, I responded as well. And I was sitting with him, and he was okay. He was acknowledging his life's partner for so many decades. But tears were streaming down one cheek, and his daughter came rushing in. She says, Daddy, don't you cry. Don't you cry even one drop. She says, she's with Jesus, and she's okay. Well, I realized I needed to step aside and let that family be a family. But she wanted to deny that grief. And Daddy took her in his arms, and I think he helped her face the fact that, yes, we can celebrate that they're at peace, they're in heaven, they're at ease, but yes, we do grieve. Seminary, so many years ago, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was one of the required readings. I believe she was required. Ken, was she required when we were in seminary? It's been a few decades for me now. But Elizabeth Kubler-Ross worked in a facility for those who were dying, and she studied it and outlined the steps of grief. And there were five steps at that point. They were denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. And it has since been revised. I didn't know that. There are now seven steps. She's rethought some of that. And so she's added shock and testing to the steps in the grief process. And I don't want to go in that too far, because this becomes dissecting the butterfly. This is analytical for something that is a part of us. But what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross helped us do was understand that this is how we as human beings respond when we've lost something. And it was pointed out that we grieve even simple things. You lose your favorite pencil. It's my Eversharp that I've had all of 3 weeks, and I really like it. And so your first reaction is, no, I haven't lost it. It's here somewhere. That's the denial part. At some point, there's anger. I lost that. I should not have lost that. I should have kept a closer grip on that pencil and tied it to a string around my neck. We all know bargaining. Please, God, let me find that pencil. It's got to be here. Then depression comes. That pencil is gone. What am I going to do without that pencil? Now I'm making light of a difficult part of how we are. But through grace, we eventually get to acceptance. It was a good pencil, but it's gone. And it's time to move on. And they don't come in order. Snow comes in order. That's ice and snow coming off the roof. God is cleaning it up outside for us. Nothing, no reason to be worried. I was blessed with my first pastorate. A woman came in, and she was at least in her 80s. And she introduced herself. I don't remember who it was. I wouldn't name her anyway, but she came in and was chit-chatting and welcoming me. And I said, and your husband? And she paused, and all of a sudden, she just teared up, and big tears just streamed down her cheek, just kerplunk, kerplop. And she says, oh, my goodness. She says, he's been gone 20 years. She says, I haven't cried in 10. But that's how grief can happen sometimes. You'll be fine with it 1 minute, and the next you might pause and be a little bit maudlin. That's an interesting word for being touched and for grieving. Grief is a part of life, and without grief, think about how difficult it would be to understand joy. So in a way, they are part of everything that happens in life. They are part of that great sacred balance. Wonderful woman that I was gifted to serve in with a member of my church in Fort Morgan received the Bishop's Award, Mary Knutson. And she said, the veil between life and death is impenetrable. She says, it has to be, because if we saw what was on the other side, we couldn't survive here. We wouldn't be able to focus here knowing what's ahead. All we would do would be rushing toward that other side of the veil. She had lost a son in his 20s. And every year they paused and put flowers on the altar acknowledging his loss. That was a deep tragedy for them. But her faith was strong, and she understood that, no, we can't see beyond the veil. She is beyond the veil now, and she's on that other side. And through faith, I know that she is well, and she is reunited with her son, Dale. But for those of us left, we have to pause and acknowledge that they are gone from our human presence, our earthly connection. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. They rest from their labors. They are gone. They are in the Lord's arms, but we miss them. Think of those you've missed. What do you miss? Smell, or the sound of their voice, or a laughter that they would do, or a saying that they always said to you, or some other quirky habit that just leaps out that you just remember that of them. And it's bittersweet. May it become more sweet over time as it mellows with age. Because you see, that's one of God's greatest gifts is time, a time to be able to heal and to draw in the sweet memories and the wonderful memories. In the book of Revelation, John's Revelation, he wrote, here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and hold fast to the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who now, from now on, die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Christian funerals have changed some over time. It seems to be one to be a time of finding all the quirky, funny stories to tell about the person. A Christian funeral, defined in our book of worship, is to lift the Christian attributes and the ways that they have witnessed to Christ. And we can pause and do both. And both are celebrations, and all are okay. Because we grow to understand that in all things, we are in God's arms, and God never leaves us, and we are never alone. Today I wanted to just pause and acknowledge those that we have lost at the culmination of 290 years of faith of these three that we've named. Awesome. And the lives they've touched, the lives that they've shared, the family that they've grown, the friendships that have been built, and the way they have witnessed their faith in Christ. Were it possible, we would pause and we would put them on a pedestal and hand them a medal and say, well done. Good and faithful servant, well done. Here is the award. You have won the race and you now rest from your labors. So for those that you're thinking of in your hearts, pause and acknowledge that and celebrate them and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and sing. Sleeth. Madeline, what was her first name? Natalie Sleeth? Thank you. Natalie Sleeth wrote Hymn of Promise. Let's sing together.
In the bulb there is a flower, in a seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds a mystery. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. In our end is our beginning, in our time infinity. In our doubt there is believing, in our life eternity. In our death of resurrection, at the last of victory. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see.
People of faith, people loved and held in the arms of Christ, we celebrate all those who have gone before us, those who have given us what we have, those who have been heritages to us, those who have guided us, instructed us, and those that we have loved. We know that they are at rest in the arms of the Lord, the blessed saints. Here today, we must follow and do some of the work that they did as they have passed. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be the disciples that offer Christ to the world. Amen? Amen. Amen. Join hands. God's people said, Amen. Amen.